Welcome to Truth, Salt, and Spice, the podcast. I am Samaita Graver. This is part three of Jesus Was Quarantined Too. I am happy to report that I think I'm all better now. I'm not coughing anymore. I took all of my antibiotics, and by day 10, I started feeling better. It still took all of last week to actually gain energy again, but I am feeling much better, and I'm not winded as I was and whatnot, and I'm not taking my inhaler every day either. So I'm very, very happy to actually even record this third part three with actually not feeling out of breath and about to keel over for lack of oxygen. So we are going to go ahead and dig in. We are on Matthew 4, verses 8 and 9. So verse 8 says, "Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him," meaning Satan to Jesus, "all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." I'm sorry, verse 10. As well, not just 8 and 9. "Then Jesus said to him, 'Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" And that's where we start. At this point, I wanted to actually start with something that came to my mind as I started working on part three. I was thinking of the Bible in general, and I see it as an exquisite piece of literature in general. I mean, it's a historical narrative. And although there are parts that speak directly to you and I on how, you know, we should live life and the relationship that God wants with us directly, this particular chapter and the verses that we've been studying do not. I want to be very careful to not convey that I just take the Bible, you know, piecemeal and go to this verse and go to that verse, and then therefore that's how the Bible is supposed to be followed and spoken. There are a lot of different ways to interpret the Bible, and some of it is just a telling of a story and what happened. It's not to be taken literal. There's a lot of poetry and similes, and it's just not straightforward. So by no means do I want anybody thinking that this study here is meant as an instruction necessarily. I'm just looking at how Jesus handled it and how we can learn from how he handled it. That's it. In this particular chapter and in these verses, Jesus is, it's just telling the story of that time that Jesus was fresh out of fasting hell and how Satan saw an opportunity to tempt him. I think where the value is knowing that, the devil tempted him with things that we humans crave and dream and worry about. We want security. So, you know, we have the temptation or the struggles of food insecurity, health, physical well-being, material things, you know, and it can just be simple things as a car, you know, a nice vacation here or there, clothes. It doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, living the life of the rich and glamorous necessarily, but it's so easy. You know, it just takes an accident or losing your job or getting sick to lose, some of these, securities. And during this, this pandemic with the coronavirus, a lot of people are actually losing food security, their health, meaning, you know, getting the virus, or if you already have health, problems, the fear of actually contracting the virus. If you don't have a job, there's, you know, the mortgage or the car payment, The kids aren't going to stop growing. You'll need clothes and shoes, here soon. So it's the things that are very valid to want security in. Now, we differ as people in as to what degree we desire these things, but or how much we worry about them. But we all have, desires nonetheless. Satan offers Jesus the world, and then Jesus retorts with scripture. So we're going to go ahead and go on to Deuteronomy 6:1. Now, I don't know if you noticed that we're back at Deuteronomy again. So it seems like the majority of the scriptures that Jesus was quoting were from Deuteronomy. Now, to just give a little bit of background, in chapter 5, Israel had been given the Ten Commandments. So we're going to go ahead and pick up in Deuteronomy 5:33 and then read the entirety of chapter 6. So, 5:33. So they're being instructed. You shall walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land that you possess. Chapter 6, verse 1 of Deuteronomy. Now this commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. And the promise is in chapter 5, here in chapter 6 again. These commandments are simple, or the results. God really just wants life to go well for us. If it were so easy to keep commandments, right? So verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Verse 5, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your forefathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things you did not build, oh, sorry, and houses full of good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God you shall fear. Him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you, for the Lord your God in your midst is a jealous God. I love that it's added there that he is in their midst. God is always present, dear friends. Lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you, and he destroy you from off the face of the earth. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test, as you tested him in Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he has commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may go well with you, and that you may go in and take possession of the good land and that the Lord swore to give to your fathers by thrusting out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has promised. And here is one of the... what do I want to say here? This is who God is. He is a keeper of promises. He swore to their forefathers, and so he has brought them to the land. He keeps his promises to us. Verse 20, when your son asks you in time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and grievous against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from there that he might bring us in and give us the land that he swore to give to our forefathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as we are this day. And it will be the righteousness for us, and it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to do all this commandment before the Lord our God as he has commanded us. So I would go back and say that, the Israelites were giving 11 commandments in a sense, because they had the 10 commandments, and then they come in and it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. In other versions, it says with your strength. And knowing these commandments was really important, because it instructed the Israelites on what to do, to ensure that they didn't forget, that they may live well, that it may go well with them, but that they didn't forget them. Ironically, I laugh because they do forget, and they forget all the time. I mean, the whole Testament is just the stories of just the Israelites forgetting who God was, and just all the mess and disobedience and wars and deaths because of just being human, right? But they're just like you and I. I mean, we set out with good intentions all the time, and we forget. And, you know, if they who participated and witnessed and agreed, witnessed the greatest miracle of being taken out of Egypt, right? And they agreed to come into covenant with God, you know, how much easier is it for you and me to forget? And even miss the ways that God is or has been in our presence and, you know, in times of need. We often think about, you know, how daft they could have been to not know that God was there. But in times of trouble, we forget very easily who God is. Going back to Jesus and Deuteronomy, I wanted to read the whole thing because I find it interesting that Jesus kept on quoting a lot of Deuteronomy. And what, you know, we need to understand, not implying that you may not know this, but that Jesus was still under the law. You know, he did not forget what was commanded in Deuteronomy. You know, Jesus was Jewish. He was taught the Jewish customs, traditions. He was raised like that. So it makes sense that he would quote scriptures that were a commandment to his people. But, you know, we as Gentiles, what are we as Gentiles commanded to do? And, when I was reading this, that word command kept on popping out. And there are two scriptures that with the word command in the command that came to my mind. The first one we have already looked at back in John 15:12. So it said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And then the other one is in Matthew 22:34-30. So we're just going to go ahead and go there. Matthew 22:34-40. Therefore, I send you prophets and wise men. Wait, am I at the right place? I am not at the right place. I'm sorry. I was in 23. I'm like, that doesn't sound right. Matthew 22:34-34. Okay, here we go. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So I think, okay, so what's the next question that begs to be asked here? What do these scriptures have to do with fighting temptation when we are hungry, tired, thirsty, weak? So that led me to actually story time. So I'm going to tell you a personal story here. A long time ago, was a single mother for about 3 years. And for a while, I was doing okay. I lived paycheck to paycheck, but I never lacked for anything. And so one day, I get a letter in the mail, and this letter was from the city. Gosh, I wish I remember what the exact technical term is for it, but it was the county, city, whatever it is. I lived in had been behind on property assessments. And by quite a few years. And so property values had gone up, and that therefore the property taxes on my property had gone up. So my mortgage went up about $100 a month. And so that was all it took for me to for it to take me down. So at first I was just, started paying my utility bills every other month. That way I wasn't in danger of getting them shut down. But then what happens? My furnace breaks. So there was money that I didn't have that I had to pay to get my furnace fixed. Another time I remember this like it happened yesterday. I was on my way to deposit $200. I don't remember why I had cash in my hand, where it came from, but I remember I thought I put it in my purse. I don't know. And I had to go to Walmart first. And then I get in my van and I went to pull it out because I was going to go in the bank to deposit it, and it was gone. I lost it. And I just remember I wanted to cry so bad, but I knew that if I let those tears start, I think I was going to have an emotional breakdown. I just couldn't. And I literally said out loud, "Okay, you know what? I hope that whoever finds them needed them more than me." And that's all I did. I needed to tell that to myself to be able to make it. I couldn't imagine somebody that needed it more than me, but it sure did happen. I remember that spring as well. I'm barely making it, and but I just had enough. I thought I had enough oil to make it that I wouldn't have to get refill again, because summer was, coming and it had been warm enough. But the oil company that I had automatically filled up the tank because they said that if they left it half empty, that condensation would ruin something or the other. So I had to pay a few hundred dollars for a full tank that I wasn't going to use until the following October or November. And so, there were a lot of things like that that happened that just they did me in. Where was God in all of this? I ran out of oil a couple times before, paycheck, before my paycheck would come. And so I remember a friend, there was an open door. So if that happened, I could just pick up, my kids and then, close up my house and, stay with her in a nice warm house. And she would feed us. Where was God? My pipes never burst. So that was definitely a way that God was there, and I had somewhere, warm to stay. When I didn't have any money for food, I was just low. I never really, I never went to bed without, food in my belly or my children. But I remember this one time a friend put together a birthday party for her son, and instead of gifts, she asked people to bring canned foods and. She filled up my pantry that way through donations of people, to feed me and my boys. I remember another time a friend, I was going to church this whole time, and a close friend threatened the church leadership team because they were giving me a hard time to help me out economically. So my small group all got together and they told them that if they didn't help me pay my car payment that month, that they were all going to give their tithing towards my bills and pay for that. So guess what? My car did get paid that one month. Or it was a van, it wasn't a car, but anyway, I was able to get a second job because a friend of mine worked at this one place, and so they hired me. And I remember another friend loyally kept my boys every weekend that they weren't with their father, and so that I could serve tables. And they still remember her as the chocolate chip pancake lady. So, and my boys are now 25 and 24. So they had a great time with her, and it was a very pleasant experience for them. And they were very well loved by this friend. So out of the blue, one day my father actually comes out and asks me if how much money I needed to be able to quit that second job. And I needed $3,000, and he actually gave me those $3,000. My dad was a deadbeat dad, but God used him to, help me out of this so I wouldn't have to work that second job. So that was another way that God showed up. It was hard, but there was one scripture that really got me through those years, and I clung to them like my life depended on it. But my spiritual life did depend on it, my emotional life depended on it, mental health, I mean. So let's go to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. So Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. It is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And so, specifically, verse 33 is where I want to focus. It says, But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And I took that to heart. I kept worshiping. I still kept going to church, even though, when I asked for help, it was a bit challenging, but I still was helped in many ways. So here's something that I'm just came to my mind, and I want to add that I did not have in my notes previously, is that I wasn't proud. I asked for help, and many friends, I let people know what was going on in my life, so they were very aware of things that were going on in my life. And if I never opened up to what was going on, I would have never gotten help. So reach out to people, have friends, connect with a congregation. We were never meant to do this alone, and God will provide some way or the other, but it's a lot easier to do life with people around you, and that will, friends and people that love you that will rally around you. But you can't do that if you're just not building relationships. So make sure to connect with people and build relationships so that you're there to give and help when needed, and so that you can be loved and given to as well when needed. I remember also asking the government for help. I actually went and was wanting help with food stamps. Actually, I just needed a little bit of cash to make it. I wasn't even asking. Like, if they would have said, Here, I can give you $300 or whatever, I would have taken them. Like, it would have been fine to just get me, over the hump. Because remember that my mortgage had gone up 100. And yeah, some things happened too that really sent me over the edge. But, a couple hundred bucks would have just kept me, living paycheck to paycheck, paycheck to paycheck, which would have been fine. But I made $4 too much. $4. I remember telling the woman said, Well, why don't you? She actually told me because she felt bad for me. So she actually gave me advice and she said, Why don't you just lie and say that you don't have a vehicle and give the vehicle to your ex-husband? And actually, at that point, I don't think I was divorced yet, but we were separated for a while. And Regardless, I looked at the lady and I said, I'm sorry, I can't do that. It goes against my moral convictions. And she looked at me like I was crazy. So that was, very interesting. But, what was I supposed to do? Give the car, and the money would have been enough, but was it worth it? I could have lied, but would I have seen God work in the ways that He did in my life? Because I chose not to take the easy way out, I wouldn't be able to tell the story the same way, and share with you the many ways that He took care of me during that time. I kept tithing. Now I didn't give. I don't think I gave a 10 little percent, but I remember asking. It's like, well, if I don't have money, should I keep tithing? And somebody gave me the advice to do so, and I did. Now I'm not necessarily recommending that. But I think there's a scripture, I should have actually, this just came to my mind. I should have probably looked this up before talking. But I think there's a scripture about deciding what you're going to give and then just give, commit to that. And if it's a dollar, give a dollar. But I think it's important. And if you can't give money, then give in other ways. I don't think it has to be a literal tithing, but I do think that we are to give even when we don't have. Whether that be of our time, encouragement, something. An email doesn't cost anything, a text to encourage somebody. So I got out on a tangent here. Let me see, where was I at? Seeking His kingdom, His righteousness. Now, so many years later, let me see, that was about 18, 19 years ago. I can say that I know that I know that I know that God does provide. When I look back to that time, did I suffer? Absolutely. It was so stressful. But I really did focus on others, and I served people in my church, and I was there, and I participated, and I showed up, and it just kept my mind off of my own problems, to be honest. I get Jesus when he used scripture to fight Satan. I totally get it. Like, I think because I've used it to comfort me, to strengthen me, I know it works. And so that's where I can look at this, part of Jesus' story in the Bible, and I know that scripture is definitely in an armor against Satan when we're tired and weak and struggling. So this week, take time to look back and find where God was there, whether it was in a physical or physical tangible way, or if it was that he gave you fortitude to keep fighting. Just because he didn't show up like you wanted him to, I guarantee you that he was there. I'm going to go ahead and just pray right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you have given us examples in the Bible on how to live. I know we're not perfect, and we will falter, and we will fall into temptation. But I pray that during this season that we have to look inward, and because of this virus keeping us, locked up, and just all the worries, that we can leave this quarantine stronger and closer to you. And I pray that as my dear listeners ponder on their life and look at where you have been in times of struggle, that you please show them how it is that you showed up, how you were there during these things. And if they're actually struggling right now, please comfort them. Please give them peace. I pray that the scripture in Matthew 6 gives them comfort. Speak to them through the scripture. I pray this in your son's Jesus' name. Amen. Before we actually part here, I have it in my heart to put together a private Facebook group for those of you engaged in the study. So if you send me a message on Facebook through the Truth, Salt, and Spice page, or personally to me, my name is spelled Xamayta, and Acevedo Graver. You can find that on Facebook. You can send me a message and I will invite you to join the group. So I hope to see you there, and have a blessed week.